Good morning. Have you ever faced death in one form or another? Probably many of you have. I've been on many ambulance calls where it was truly a life or death situation. Some of you had loved ones die from illness or old age or whatever, but you faced death in one way or another. One of our members told me that when he was 6 years old, he faced death. He said that he had the measles and chicken pox at the same time. Very lethal combination. That he was, his body temperature was sky high. He was packed in ice. He was in a coma for 4 days. Remember, he's 6 years old. When he came to, he looked up, and this was a while ago, but you may recognize these names. He saw Dr. Musler standing here. And apparently Dr. Ward was on the other side. Both doctors were trying to help him, of course, to recover and such. Someone once said that death respects no one. We all, as we know, are going to die someday. And also somebody else once wrote that the door of the hearse is always open. It's never closed. Death is a reality that we all have to deal with in one way or another. Jesus and two thieves had been condemned to death. They were led from the judgment hall to Calvary, where they were crucified, a thief on either side and Jesus in the middle. We read about this in Luke 23. That's our scripture lesson for today. Luke 23, we'll read verse 32 and then jump down to 39. So Luke 23, 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." This gruesome event was a fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 53:12 says, "He was numbered with the transgressors." Christ had been the friend of sinners in life and now in death. To each of these crosses was nailed a man who handled death and who handled sin differently. So perhaps the question for us today is, which one of these thieves represents our attitude towards sin and death? I'd like to call your attention to the video as they act it out for us.
Thank you. an audience with the Christ. What kind of king would be seen with the likes of you?
He saved others, but didn't save himself.
He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will all believe.
Though he hung on a cross by nails in his hands and feet, though he was fighting for every breath, though he could feel his life slipping away, something the thief saw in Jesus that day reached him, touched him, changed him. What was it? Was it the way Jesus endured the torture of the nails, the abuse of the soldiers, the taunting of the crowd, without ever once lashing out in anger himself? Or maybe it was the way Jesus spoke to Mary. Jesus is enduring the most excruciating pain imaginable, and yet he is thoughtful of his mother. He wants to see that she is taken care of and protected. What selfless love.
Woman, this is your son. John, this is your mother.
Maybe it was that moment when the thief saw such love that he thought to himself, is it possible that he could love me too? But I wonder if what turned his heart around was the very first thing Jesus said on the cross. His prayer was that God would forgive them all. Whatever it was, something touched him that day. His heart was changed, and in that moment he did something that Peter ran from, the rest of the disciples had hid from, that Pilate had washed his hands of. He stood up for Jesus. He stood up for Jesus when Jesus was most alone. In the moment of Jesus' life, when he felt abandoned even by his heavenly Father, a common thief came to his defense.
Remember me when you enter your kingdom.
I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise.
Let's begin by looking at the rejecting thief. He chose to die in his sin. Through unbelief, he rejected Christ's saving power. In verse 39, Luke has recorded for us the insult of this unbelieving thief. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. The Living Bible puts it this way. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. So I think this man is saying, I don't really believe that you are the long-awaited Messiah. I don't believe that you have the power to save any more than any other ordinary man has. If you want me to believe, You must prove it. You must prove your claims by freeing us from these crosses. Death in sin comes because of unbelief in Christ. And please note that this thief cried out not to be saved from his sins, if you notice that in our scriptures. Not to be saved from his sins, but only to be saved from the cross. There's no remorse whatsoever for his sinful behavior. Only distress that he was suffering the consequences. The more I think about this, I think he was just mad because he got caught. But dear friends, the Bible clearly exclaims, remember in Romans 6:23, that the penalty for sin is death. It is death. The second thief was a man who chose to seek forgiveness. Here we see a very sharp contrast between these two thieves, between these two crosses. The first thief showed no respect whatsoever. He joined in with the crowd as they made fun of Jesus. But the second thief exclaims, "Don't you fear God?" In other words, remember who you're talking to here. Show some respect. The first thief showed no remorse at all for his sin, but the second openly admitted his guilt. Verse 41 says, "We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve." The rejecting thief died because of his disbelief in Jesus. The accepting thief openly declares, "This man has done nothing wrong. Because of that, I believe in him." And then in verse 42, we get this incredible answer from the middle cross when Jesus speaks. And he says, "That I will remember you. I will remember you. I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." The first thief died refusing to repent and ask forgiveness. He died refusing to believe in the saving power of Christ who was right next to him. The second thief died confessing his faith in the saving power of Christ. His reward was eternity in paradise. What makes paradise paradise? What makes paradise paradise? Jesus is there, exactly. His presence is what makes paradise paradise. And Jesus promises him that for all of eternity, this day on, you will be with me in paradise. Which cross are you hanging on this morning? Which one are you hanging on this morning? An expert swimmer taught college men how to swim and how to dive. One night he couldn't sleep. He decided to go to the swimming pool and have a swim, maybe burning off some energy, you know, so that he could sleep. Here's what he said. He said, "I didn't put the lights on. I knew every inch of the place, and the roof was made of glass. The moon shone through, throwing the shadow of my body on the wall at the other end of the pool. And as I started to dive, my body and my arms made a perfect sign of the cross. I can't explain why I did not dive at that moment. I had no premonition of danger of any kind. As I started looking at the shadow of the cross, I began to think of the cross of Jesus Christ and what it means. I was not a Christian at the time. I found myself repeating the words of a hymn I had learned as a little boy in Sunday school. He died that I might be forgiven. I can't tell you how long I stood there poised on the diving board or why I didn't dive. I came down from the diving board and walked along the pool to the steps that I knew led to the bottom of the pool, and I just began to go down the steps. He says, I reached the bottom, and my feet touched the cold, smooth, cement bottom of the pool. The night before, the caretaker had drained the pool dry. And I didn't know it. I realized then that had I dived, I would have dived to my death. The cross on the wall saved me that night. I was so thankful to God for his mercy in sparing my life. I knelt on the cold bricks and I asked the Christ of the cross to save my soul. I experienced a twofold deliverance that night. This story about the two thieves is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and it intrigues me. There's so much we don't know. We don't know their names. We don't know their sentence. I mean, why were they hanging across? We don't know what they did wrong or how they got caught. We don't know any of that stuff. We just know they're there. And, you know, I think about the thief who accepted the Lord. We get to heaven someday, he's going to be there. I got lots of questions for him. I want to know what happened. But the real question this morning is, which cross are you hanging on? The accepting cross or the rejecting cross? Which one? Jesus turned, and in our video, you know, he turns, and when he looks at that thief and it's eyeball-to-eyeball contact, I just go, wow. I can't imagine looking into the eyes of Jesus. What that must have been like. And hearing those words, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I think about the guy on the other cross. You know, when Jesus is saying that to the accepting thief, the best you could, you kind of, I guess, turn. I don't know, I'm imagining that he turned. So now his back is to the rejecting thief. Can't imagine for a second what it would be like to have Jesus turn his back on me. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to know. Did that happen or not? I don't know, but I just imagine it did. But which cross are you hanging on this morning? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? The statement he said to the accepting thief, have you heard him say that to you, that, you know, the day you die, I'll see you in heaven? I sure hope so. But maybe for some of us, you know, to be honest, we're on the cross of the rejecting thief. We haven't heard Jesus say, I'll see you in heaven someday. We haven't listened to Jesus. We've turned our back on him. And what are the consequences to that? Let's pray. Father, we humble ourselves this morning, and we kneel at the foot of the cross, your cross. And oh, how we say thank you. I don't know how we can possibly say thank you enough for what you did for us. For those of us, Lord, who have accepted you as our Lord and our Savior, we rejoice. And we say thank you. But for those of us who haven't accepted you as Lord and Savior, I'm not sure what you say. I hope that if you're listening here today, that you've come to realize that you need Jesus. You need him really bad. We all need him. And for you, if you haven't accepted Christ yet, Lord, I would want them to know that there's still hope. There's still hope. There's still time for them because they're not dead yet. Once we are dead, there's no more chances. You have to do it now while you're alive. And I just pray, Lord, that anyone here this morning who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, who has not surrender their life to you, who's still trying to live it on their own, and they fail and they fail and they keep failing, that they will finally say, enough. That, Lord, they will come to you. I pray, Lord, sincerely that no one leaves this place here today without you. And they know who they are, Lord. They know who they are. As we continue a spirit of prayer, I would just ask, if there's anyone here this morning The Lord is speaking to you, and you know who you are, and he's saying, today's the day. Now is the time. Now is the time for you to let me into your life. Now is the time for you to let me guide you. Now is the time for you to follow me. Now is the time for you to know the joy of being forgiven. As every eye is closed and head is bowed, I'm the only one looking. Would you raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you. And I want to pray for you. If that describes you at this moment. Father, you know our hearts. And you know where we're coming from. Some of us need you now. Some of us already know you, and we praise you for that. Some of us aren't sure. Not sure what's going on here. For those who aren't sure, Lord, I pray indeed that they will decide quickly. For those who are still hanging on that cross of rejection, Lord, I pray for a change of heart. For those, Lord, who know you as Lord and Savior, we just say hallelujah and praise you. Lord, may we leave this place different than how we came in because of you and your incredible love. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.